And Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, as we open your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, Father. And we know, Lord, that your desire is for us, Lord, just to grow in the knowledge of who you are, Lord, to grow in your love, Lord, to grow in your ways. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, and I do want to share a little bit this morning about the love of a mother. But before I get into that, I just want to read some things that a bunch of primary school children, they were actually given some questions, and they're all to do with mothers. And these are the genuine responses. This isn't just what somebody made up. This was actually a survey given to primary school kids, and they'll ask a whole bunch of questions about mothers, and this is their responses that we got. So first question was, why did God make mothers? First one says, she's the only one who knows where the sticky tape is. Second one, think about it. It was the best way to get more people. Number three, mostly to clean the house. And number four, to help us out when we were getting born. How did God make mothers? He used dirt just like the rest of us. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. He made mum just the same like he made me. He just used bigger parts. Why did God give Why did God give you your mother and not some other mum? We're related. God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's mums like me. What ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. They get their start from men's bones. Then they use mostly string, I think. What kind of little girl was your mum? My mum has always been my mum and none of that other stuff. I don't know because I wasn't there, but I guess she'd be pretty bossy. They say she used to be nice. What did mum need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. And the second one, she had to know his background, like, is he a crook? Does he get drunk on beer? Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? Why did your mum marry your dad? My mum makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mum eats a lot. She got too old to do anything else with him. My grandma says mum didn't have a thinking cap on. What's the difference between mums and dads? Mums work at work and work at home, and dad's just got to work at work. Mums know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger. But mums have all the real power, because that's who you've got to ask if you want to sleep over at your friend's. If you could change one thing about your mum, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mum smarter, and that way she'd know it was my sister who did it and not me. It's amazing. Kids have got all sorts of wonderful perceptions about mothers, but I really want to speak a little bit about mothers and the heart of the mothers. Today, there's something very special about mothers and that connection. There's something there that even a man will never understand, and I can never fully understand the mystery of being a mother. There's that connection, even a biological connection that is made with their children. But I want to first, before I talk to mothers, because I really want to talk to all of us this morning, but I really want to talk to us, to all the women, first of all, that are here this morning. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 18. And I just want to talk a little bit about it because this is an important point as we consider what it is to be a woman and the distinction. Because some people get all caught up and find that their identity is found in the wrong part of being a woman. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 18, and this is what it says. It says, I will be a father to you. This is our Father in heaven, which we're learning intimacy with the Father in that course. So critical for every one of us. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I just want to speak to the women for a moment that are here today. And you're a woman, you know that you're a woman, so men, you can just listen for a moment, but I want you to honour women and womanhood in this thing that I really want to talk about at the moment. First of all, I just really want to say that for a woman, that the most important thing and the primary call that you have on your life is that you are a daughter of the Most High God. That is really who you are, that you are a daughter of the Most High God. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, that you've surrendered him, that really is who you are. You are a daughter of the Most High God, that you are his precious handmaid and you are his beautiful creation. That's who you really are in God as a woman. You are a daughter of the Most High God. That's who you are. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're precious to him, a precious handmaiden of his. You're that beautiful creation that God has made. And that is the thing that identifies who you are. And the reason why I'm saying this is we're going to talk a little bit about mothers today. But see, what can happen is that some women can define themselves as, who am I or what am I, that I am a mother. But fundamentally, being a mother or even being a wife, that's a role that God gives to play. But that's not who you are. Primarily and principally, you are a daughter of the Most High God. And it's important that you understand that, because some women will identify themselves and say, well, what am I? Well, I'm a wife. But I'm sure as a woman, if you are married here this morning, you don't go around and saying, oh, I'm this one's wife, you know, this is my, and never use your own name, never identify yourself. You have actually an identity beyond the fact that you happen to be married, the fact that you happen to be spouse, because you are a daughter of the living God. But some women will go and solely define themselves as a mother, and their whole sense of who they are, the whole sense of identity is wrapped up in this thing being a mother. And that's very difficult and also very dangerous. Because one, what if you're actually not a mother? And and some women never get married. Some women never have children. Does that mean they're any less a woman? No, they're not. Because they're not defined by a role, a very important role that we want to honor today, a very important role. But that doesn't define who they are. Who they are is principally is a handmaid and that daughter of God, his precious creation. That's who they are in Christ. And the same is another very important role, of course, is to be a wife. But see, some women find themselves in a circumstance where here they are, that they're fulfilling the role of a mother, but they're not actually fulfilling the role of the wife. Are they any less diminished because of that? Not at all. Because who they are is identified as a daughter of the Most High God. And I want us to really understand it, because some women can really struggle, even with Mother's Day, even being a mother. When we talk about mothers, we epitomize motherhood. And I certainly want to honor that today. And certainly anything I say today is not going to diminish motherhood in any way. In fact, I want to enhance that. But I just really want to make that point, that really women to understand, first of all, that you are a daughter of the Most High God. In fact, if you're a woman this morning, I'd like you to stand up. If you're a woman, a female, a girl, stand to your feet right now. I'd like you to stand this morning. So guys, it's all right. You can chill out. You relax. That's fine. All you women that are standing, I just want you to grab a hold of it. I just want to pray those words over you just right now as you're standing. Father, I just pray for every woman that is standing here today, Lord, every precious one of yours, Father, that is standing here, every one of my sisters that is standing here this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd still into their heart, Lord, and in growing awareness, Lord, that they are a daughter of the Most High God. Lord, that they are chosen of you, Lord. They're appointed of you, Lord. They're your special ones, Lord, that you love and tenderly cherish so much, Father. Lord, let them see themselves, number one, Lord, that I am a daughter of the Most High God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that even on Mother's Day, Lord, even as people talk about motherhood and being a mother, Father, I pray, Lord, for even those who are mothers, Lord, that they won't just see themselves as a mother, but Lord, they will see themselves as a daughter of the Most High God, Father. I pray, Lord, that you open their eyes, Lord, to the wonder of that, Lord, the beauty of it is, Lord, to stand and be able to declare that, Father, Lord, instill it into every heart, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that whatever their situation, whatever their circumstances, Lord, that they are who they are, Lord, their identity is that they are a daughter of the Most High God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that let each one grab a hold of that in their spirit this day, I pray in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And that's really important that we understand that distinction. That's what your identity is. Because there's a danger if a woman gets her identity caught up in those two areas. If her identity is caught up into being a wife, which is one very important role that a woman can be called to play, or if her identity is wrapped up into being a mother. Because if something changes in those situations, then they can lose who they are. But that's not who they are. Their roles, there are important roles. So what happens is a lot of women, when their children grow up and they leave home, and all of a sudden there they are, and they feel like, well then, what am I anymore? What do I do? It's like there's somehow they're diminished. Well, no, they're not diminished. They're still that daughter of God. They're still his daughter. Now, maybe God will give them a different kind of role now. Maybe you'll get along some of the younger ladies and encourage them and begin to mentor and teach them. Maybe there's a different expression of ministry and service. I mean, a mum is always a mum. It doesn't matter how old her kids are. She's always a mum and always will be a mum and always have that heart. But the day-to-day need, the day-to-day ministry of looking after the kids and getting them up and giving them breakfast and making sure they got their clothes and their lunch and getting them off to school, all of that sort of stuff, when all of that changes, some women can feel like, maybe I'm not anything anymore. No, you're still a daughter of the living God. It's so important. What if our kids go off the rails? Some women can then think that, well, maybe there's something wrong with me as a person because my kids aren't being the kids that I wanted them to be. They're not doing the things that I thought that they might do and that I planned and I thought that would happen in their lives, and somehow feel that they're somehow diminished, not in any way. Every woman does the very best she can. Every mother, every woman that becomes a mother does the very best that she can. And her identity is not caught up in that. It's not caught up in whether our children are doing this or whether our children are doing that. It's so important that you separate yourself from that. Don't find your identity in your children. You know, the perversion of that I see is you see those beauty pageants. You see those little girls that are 5 or 6 and some of them are dressed in ways that, man, I'd never let my daughter dress in. And you've got a little 5 or 6-year-old in some of these pageants and these mothers that are trying to somehow live something out through their kids. I think it's really sad when I see that their identity is somehow caught up in that child. And a lot of those don't know Christ. They don't know that their identity is actually caught up in the Lord. But for godly women, always to make sure that your identity is only found in Christ. And that if your kids go off, you're not a failure in any way. It doesn't reflect on who you are, because who you are is that daughter of the living God, daughter of the Most High God. And so it's so important. Some women put down themselves and think that somehow who they are is diminished. Not in any way. Because who you are in Christ, nothing or no one can touch. And what if you're not the super mum that we talk about? You know, we read Proverbs 31, and that's a wonderful image of a godly woman that every woman should try to aspire to. But what if there's struggles along the way? What if you find it difficult? And some mums find it not that easy to be a mum. Some women, some mums just seem to take it like a fish to water, or like a duck to water, or whatever they say. Others find it really hard just to get a handle around the whole thing. And what do I do? But it's really important to understand is that as parents, we make mistakes, and mums, they make mistakes. Mums will make mistakes. Your mum might have made mistakes. As a mum, if you're a mum here this morning, maybe you've made mistakes, but that doesn't diminish in any way who you are. You're not the super mum. That's okay. You're a daughter of the Most High God. That's who you are. And so if you are a great mum, praise God, but don't take pride in that. Take pride in that you're a daughter of God, that you're his daughter. And that's what we really want to do. Try not to live our life out from others. So I just wanted to make that point first of all, that who you are is a daughter of the living God. And have that. Don't live your life just being a wife. Don't live your life being a mother. They're very important and precious roles, which I do want to honor and elevate, particularly motherhood this morning. But that's not who you are. Who you are is who you are in Christ. And so every morning, ladies, and I think this is good for some ladies to do, stand in front of the mirror when you get up in the morning before you do whatever else you do, in front of the mirror, before you put on this and take off that or whatever. But just stand there and just say to yourself when you're looking in that mirror, say, I am a daughter of the Most High God. I am his precious handmaiden, his beautiful creation. And if you can say those words, then that's going to make you a far better woman. You'll be far secure in who you are. And if you have these other roles, very important roles of being a wife and a mother, you'll be far better than that. But never let your identity be wrapped up in those things, because that's a dangerous and vulnerable place to be. And women go for a lot of heartache. Mothers go for a lot of heartache because they're tied up in that. Wives go through a whole lot of heartache because their identity is tied up too much in those things as well. But always remember, it's who I am in God. And that's the important thing I wanted to start with this morning. As we talk about mothers, it's who you are in Christ. That's who you are. And so if you're a mother but you don't have a husband with you at the moment, you're no way diminished, because the Lord says he will be your husband. He'll cover that in your heart, in your life. He'll look after you. And if a woman that is single, she's no way diminished, because who she is found in Christ. That's who she is. And if those that don't have children are no way diminished, because who you are is found in Christ. And there's two important roles, but they're not who you are. But I do want to speak a little bit about the love of a mother. And it is a wonderful mystery, and I can't pretend that I understand entirely the love of the mother. Because I'm not one, I'm a father, but I'm not a mother. But before I'm even a father, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. And you guys, every man here, you've got to understand that scripture says, it says that you are sons, you're the sons of God. And that's who you are before you're anything else. And try to be that, make sure that's your priority. And as I said, for mothers, number one priority is not being a mother. Your number one priority is being a daughter of the Most High God. And the second thing is to be a wife. And the third thing would be to be a mother. They're the things that God has called you to do, and always make sure you have those rights. But I want to talk about the mother's love, how it's it gives us an indicator of the love of God. Now, in some ways, a mother's love is a wonderful and it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see the love of a mother. But not every mother is perfect. In fact, I've never met a perfect mother because I never met a perfect woman. Because the reality is, nobody's perfect. We're still learning and growing in the things of God. And so even as I highlight some things from a mother's love, it's never going to be perfect, because there's no such thing as a perfect woman. In terms of our relationship and standing before God because of Christ, He sees us as perfect. But the day-to-day decisions, the day-to-day choices and the things that you do, there's a learning and there's an ongoing growing process in that. And a mother's love, as beautiful as it is, it's really like when you just see, you know, when the sun begins to rise, you know, it's been dark, the sun comes up, and you see that little first glimmer of the day, the first glint of the sun as it begins to come through. What a beautiful thing that is when you see the sun rise and begin to see that. But that's still nothing compared to when the sun is standing full up in the brightness of that. Or else another little picture to think of it is that if you're in a very dark room and someone turns a torch on, that's a wonderful light, isn't it? You can see something, but how much greater that, again, when you're in the sunlight. And so the mother's love is a beautiful thing, but it is only just something to help point us to the wonderful love of our Father. And it's not the be-end and all end-all. It just leads us to see the love of God, but it's a very precious thing. I just want to talk about quickly some of the things that mothers do and how these are a great picture for us, that the love of the Father, the love of God has for us in heaven. And one of the things that is beautiful that women do is that cherishing heart. As a pastor, I have a privilege, you know, when mothers have babies, and that's what mothers tend to do, they have babies, to go to the hospital to visit them there and to see a mother there that's cradling a newborn baby. Now, it is just a wonderful thing. You look at that mother looking at this child, and just to see the love and the tenderness and how she cherishes her baby, what a beautiful picture that is. It's a wonderful thing to see that, just to see that love and that cherish, to be cherished. The writer in Proverbs in verse 4, this is Solomon's part, he talks about he was cherished by his mother. And there's something about being cherished by your mother. And as a mother, to do that, to have that heart, to be one that cherishes and to love, it's just an incredible love that mothers can have. And as I said, there's nothing more beautiful when you see that little baby being cradled in a mother's arm. And just to see the way that she looks at a baby, just the way that she looks at a child, is something very special and something very profound. And as powerful and as wonderful that is, the love of a mother is an amazing thing. It's something that will, when other people will give up, other people will write someone off, other one will, that's just too hard, the mother hangs in there. The mother always hangs in there. The mother's heart always loves and believes and is hoping and praying and really wants to see something wonderful happen. That's the wonder of the heart of a mother. But again, I just want to say that that's just compared to the love of God, compared to the love that God has for us. It's just a very dim little glimmer, just a little glint of that. A mother can give a wonderful love. There's that cherishing love of a mother. 1 John 4:16, it says that we know and we rely on the love that God has for us, because God is love. And so the love of the mother is a beautiful thing, but how much more is the love of God? God actually is love. He is the epitome of love. And some people in the world, if they say, what is the highest expression of love? People will lord out, they will say, mothers, the love of the mother is the most awesome thing. Well, the love of the mother is an awesome thing. It is an incredible thing when there's a mother that has that heart, that loving and that cherishing heart. But how much more amazing is the love of God for us? You know, we picture that little baby cradled in the mother just looking and just loving this little child, just can't take her eyes off this little one. But just imagine your Father in heaven. He just can't take his eyes off you. He doesn't take his eyes off you for one little moment. A good mum will always have one eye on her child. You know, they're talking and they're sort of looking, you know, there's one eye here, one eye there, and always looking, you know. Sometimes you think, what's wrong with you? But no, nothing wrong. There's just eyes everywhere looking at their kids, one eye always on them. But how much more our Father in heaven, he's got his eyes on you every moment of every day. And some mothers, as much as they try, maybe some mothers, maybe some that are here today, maybe your mum wasn't the super mum. Well, maybe she wasn't Proverbs 31 super mum. And maybe as you look at your life, you think, gee, I'm trying to be like that, but there's something so much more powerful than that. That's the love of God. And that's the love that God wants to show and express for each and every one of us, male or female. And that's that wonderful love. And so maybe if you didn't have that love, well, then you need to tap into the love of God this morning. Maybe if you didn't have that tenderness and that sense of being cherished, you need to know this morning that you are cherished by God. He loves you so much. The Bible tells us, it says in Psalm 139, it talks about us being beautifully and wonderfully made. It talks about the thoughts that God has for us. He cannot get you out of his mind. If you're a mum, you're a parent, your kids are doing something, you're always thinking about your kids, aren't you? Mums, is that right? You're thinking about them. All right, they're not even living at home maybe, but you're thinking about them. Or they're going to school, or they're going to a friend's place. Are they okay? They're going on an excursion. You're always thinking about them. But God's your Father. He cannot get you out of his mind. God cannot stop thinking about you. He is always thinking about you. His heart is always there for us. God cannot get him. We think that that's wonderful that a mother does that. A mother doesn't give up. How much more does God love us? He cannot stop thinking about you for one moment. His heart is always there. He is always urging you on, encouraging you. God is always with us. How wonderful is a mother's love, but how greater is that love of God. And another wonderful thing that a mother does is a mother is a wonderful comforter. You know, there's something about, you know, the comfort of a mum. You know, a kid scrapes their knee, they'll run up and who they want? They want mum. Mum, kiss it better. There's something amazing. You know, the pharmaceutical companies could somehow capture a mother's kiss and market it, they'd make billions of dollars. It's this miracle cure, the amazing power of a mother's kiss. Doesn't matter whatever it is, a broken heart, a broken knee, whatever it is, a mother's kiss seems to heal all things. What a wonderful thing it is. And that cherishing heart, but also that comforting heart that a mother brings. And I like this little passage in Psalm 139 where the psalmist, he says this, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." And you see that little baby that's just had its fill and it's lying there just content, just in its mother's arms, and that wonderful feeling of comfort. You know, the baby that screams in the middle of the night, something about the mum just picks up this little warmth. All of a sudden, there's comfort, there's this peace that suddenly comes upon this little troubled little heart that's upset about something. And it's a wonderful comfort that brings to a child. And maybe some of you knew that comfort, but maybe some of you didn't know that. Maybe your mum perhaps wasn't there all the time because she wasn't that super mum. Maybe she did the very best she can and wasn't the perfect model. But there is something wonderful about that comfort that a mum can bring. But how much more is that comfort that your Father in heaven, God himself, will bring to us? It says in Isaiah 66:13, and this is the Lord's, a beautiful image. The Lord says, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And so whether our mother was there or not, whatever the situation, maybe your mother's not here now, maybe your mother's passed away, and maybe the times that you say, "I wish I could just ring up mum and just talk to her," well, God actually can bring a greater comfort than that. Love and the comfort of mother is an amazing thing, but God also can bring that. 1 Corinthians 1:3 describes God as the God of all comfort. He is the God of comfort, the originator of comfort in our life. And so he is the one that we can go to. The comfort that we see in a mother is a beautiful little glimmer of the comfort that we can find in God. And he is a wonderful God. He is our comforter when we're struggling, when we're going through issues, when we're going through things. Life hurts sometimes. Sometimes life will scrape our knee, but more than that, it might even break something. It can hurt sometimes. And some are privileged if you've got a mother around that you can go to and can touch, encourage you. But even a mother doing the best she can in that, it's not the same of the comfort that God brings. Sometimes God will work through your natural mother, but maybe work through another lady to bring you comfort, ladies. Maybe a guy, God will work through them to help encourage you and comfort you, because God loves us and He's committed. He's the God of all comfort. It's interesting, the word comfort actually comes from the word which means womb. Compassion, actually, the word compassion has come from the root word which means womb. But God understands that. So that mother's heart is so important, that comforting heart. But how much more is that comfort that we get from our Father? And maybe some of you are going through a really hard time at the moment. Maybe some of you are struggling at the moment. And maybe for some of you that Mother's Day itself is a real struggle emotionally for you. For whatever reason, it's a difficult day. Well, then go to your Father in heaven. God, He is the God of all comfort. It all comes from Him ultimately anyway. Another wonderful thing that a mother does is that nurturing, that caring role that a mother has. And Paul actually uses this for himself in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. He talks about being an apostle, how we were like, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. Paul honors motherhood when he makes that comparison. Being the mighty apostle of God, he said, I was like a nursing mother caring for you. And it's a wonderful way of honoring. And so mother will take cares. And sometimes as anxious, we get anxious about things. Sometimes we worry about things. Sometimes we need some sort of reassurance. And a little child needs reassurance. The younger a child is, they need constant reassurance as they're growing up. They're living in a world of uncertainty. Everything is new. Everything is different. And they don't know things. And so as a child, it'll always be seeking for reassurance. Some people, as they get a little older, we need reassurance from time to time when things happen, when things go wrong, when there's struggles or whatever. And a natural mother can help bring that. But maybe you don't have that, or maybe the mother's not a believer. Well, then there is a reassurance that we can find in our Father in heaven, in God. He is the one that can bring that to us. And Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxiety or all your cares on Him because He cares for you. God cares for us. And we don't sometimes understand how much God cares for us. And the same as like a little child will not be in the corner thinking, well, I'm not going to run to mummy. Child automatically is somehow geared. They run automatically when there's something. But we have a Father in heaven that we can run automatically to. And if we go through a struggle, we have a Father who cares for us. He's not a disinterested one. I remember as a child growing up, I used to get really stroppy. Because if I was a child and I spoke to my parents and they didn't respond to me, I got really stroppy with them. And now sometimes mum's in the middle of washing the dishes or she's doing something, and you know how kids are. Kids are up there all the time, you know, in the middle of something and trying to do something, or, you know, dad was doing something. And if I'd go up to my parents and I'd talk to them and I'd say something to them, and they didn't respond to me, or they were just all caught up, I'd just turn and walk away. And sometimes I'd pick that up and they go, oh, sorry, what was that? And I go, no. I'm a bit stupid, really. But anyway, no, you weren't interested? So I'm not telling you. You don't care? So I'm not going to say anything. And so stupidly, I'd walk away. But somehow, sometimes we're a little bit like that with God. We think God's not listening. We think that God doesn't care. We might pray. We don't get the answer straight away as we thought, when we thought, how we thought. And so we go, well, God, you're not interested? No, you don't care. And we walk away. Now, I grew out of that. I was as silly as a child. I grew up. But some of us stay as that as adult believers. We pray once. We don't get the answer. We think God's not interested. God is so interested in us. And He says, cast them all on me. I want to know your heart. I want to know your struggles. I want to know what you're going through. And part of that intimacy with the Father is about to pray that way and say, God, I'm really struggling with this at the moment. Lord, I'm finding it really hard, Lord, and I just need your help now. I need you to speak to me, Lord. I need you to touch me in my life. And God is able to do that. He is there for us. It says to cast all our cares upon Him, just like a mother can do that, but God far greater. That's the glimmer. How much more can we do that? Some people are very quick to run to other people when there's a problem. Now, it's so important that we have other people in our lives. We need each other. God made us to need each other. But they don't ever necessarily run to God. And he should be the first one that we run to and say, God, I've got a care, I've got a problem. Before I run off with someone else, Lord, I'm going to bring it to you first of all. Lord, I'm going to let you hear my heart, Lord. I'm going to let you, Lord, speak into my life and my situation. And how many things will change in our life if we can actually gear ourselves to run to the Lord. And is that, it's so wonderful that we do that. Another important thing that mothers do is that role as like a coach or a teacher in our life. Proverbs 1:8 says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. If you think about it, as a mother, if you're a young mother or a mother, your role, one of the roles of that particular role, a part of being a mother, if that's the role that God has you playing at the moment or doing that ministry that's so important, that you're doing that ministry to children and to teaching them is so important. We've got to teach our kids. Really important that we teach kids, and the best gift that any parent can give their child is to bring them up in the ways of God. That is the most wonderful gift, most precious gift that a mother can do for their children, is to spend time with them, to get your kids together, to pray with your kids, to pray with them every night. Bring them along to church, bring them along, get them into Sunday school where they can be taught and instructed. Get those sheets that comes up on the screen every single week and says, take these sheets home and take your children through them, and actually do that and actually teach your children. It's the most wonderful gift that parents can ever give your children. Some parents like splashing money around their kids and think that that's going to keep them or help them in some way. You give them everything that they ever want. Don't give them everything they want. Give them what they need. And what they need is the things of God in their life. It's so important that we sow that into them. It's an important part of mothers to do that, to teach them. Many life lessons that we've learned. My mother taught me about praying. My mum prays for everything. She prays for things I'd never even think about praying for. So I think, Mum, it's crazy. You're praying for that, but she prays for every little thing. It's a great little principle, Mother, teach it about praying about things. And I think if you think about it, there's some things in your own life that you've been taught. And it's so important that we learn. But the greatest gift is to teach your children the things of God. I encourage your mothers to be doing that. But even again, what a mother teaches, again, that can just be the glimmer, if you like, of the dawn. And the full light, John 14:6, is when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He says, I am the truth. A mother, you will teach them truth, teach them good stuff. But I am the truth, Jesus says, and I am the way. I am the way to go. If you really want to know where to go, it's not just the good things that mum taught, and there's some good godly values if you had a godly mum that may have been invested in you. But maybe you didn't have a godly mother. Maybe your mother had no idea about the things of God. In fact, maybe it was the opposite of that. And so what am I going to teach my kids? I don't want to hand down some things that maybe aren't such a good heritage that I want to pass that on. Well, then grab a hold of God in such a powerful way and allow him to invest himself in your life that it might then flow through into the life of other people. Jesus said, I am the way. And to bring Christ into your family is so important to do that. But do you do that? I trust that you do, that you're praying. I know mothers pray, well, pray for your children. But to know Jesus is the way. And he's there for every one of us. And if we want to know, Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? Then he's the one that we've got to run to and allow him to speak into our life. And the final thing I want to quickly talk about is the importance of correction. Is that area of bringing corrections. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. And Proverbs 13:24 says, the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And that's an important role that a mother has. Some mothers leave that just, well, to the father to be the disciplinarian. That's not right. Some fathers just leave it to the wife to be a disciplinarian or a mother to do that. Again, that's not right either. But part of the role of a mother is to bring that correction and to bring that discipline. And it's probably a hard thing. It's if some mothers can lose it in that time, they can lose it, they can go a little bit too far. And then they can feel really guilty afterwards. Well, God's gracious and he'll forgive us. And sometimes mums need to go and apologise even, perhaps, to their kids. But some mothers err the other way and want to feel they've been really loving to their children by not disciplining them, not actually saying no and yes and whatever, not doing that. And it's a really important role that we understand that to bring that discipline. And it says there, it says, the one who loves their children, discipline is love. The lack of discipline is the absence of love. And so that challenge as a parent, and particularly as a mother, I've got to bring discipline to my children. It's important that I do that. But again, God is also one that is the one that will ultimately, he's the discipliner, he's the one that will correct us. In Revelation 3:19, God says, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." And God does that. As a parent, look, if I still remember the story when Ray Gilmore came, Pastor Ray. He came to church. He was pastor of the church where I grew up in. And he came and he's really shaken because I think it was only about a week before Mother's Day. And they just saw a little child get killed by a bus. Driving to church, there was a bus that pulled out. Mother had been in the shop telling a child to come back. Child totally ignored the mother altogether. Mother's screaming, "Stop, stop, stop." Child runs in front of the bus and gets killed. And then he comes to church and he's all shaking and he's white. He's just seen this little child killed. Horrendous, horrible thing that he's seen. And it's so, it really, and I always remember that, how important it is for parents that we need to be able to say, when we say no, they say no, because their life may depend on it. And the ability to say no, and that means no. The little finger going to the PowerPoint. You know, we don't negotiate with them and say, "Come on, dear, that's not a very nice thing to do." And some psychologists will want us to do that. They want you to sit down and try to have an adult conversation with a two-year-old and try to work out, you know, work out all the things that, you know, what might happen. Little two-year-old, they're just going, their finger's going for that socket, like it or not. You can't negotiate with them. And so they need to say, "No, I don't want you having a frilly hairstyle. No." We need that to do that. And so some mothers, naturally, some mothers will struggle with that. Well, that's where we might need some help from some of the ones, some of the older mums. And maybe some of the mums that your children are growing up, or maybe someone might say, "Please come alongside me and help me with this, because it's so important area." But God also, he's the one that disciplines us. And sometimes God says no to us. And we say, "Whoa, God, don't you love me anymore?" Well, you might be about to run out in front of a bus and God's trying to protect you. And then we think, "Oh, God, you don't love me anymore. God, you don't care for me anymore. Lord, you don't answer my prayers. Lord, where are you? You don't love me. You deserted me." Or else we think, "God, what have I done? I'm unworthy. I must have sinned, Lord. There must be something. I'm not." And our whole identity gets all messed up. We forget that if you're a woman, that you are a daughter of the living God. You're his precious handmaid and you're his beautiful creation. If you're a man, that you're a son of God. But automatically then we start thinking, "Oh, no, there must be something wrong with me." And we get all caught up. Sometimes God will say no to us because we're about to run out in front of a bus because we've got our finger poised on this socket. It might seem like a great thing. This is going to make a lot of money. This is going to open up a whole lot of doors. This is going to be, you know, fantastic. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. And your finger's there and God says no. And sometimes out of our stubbornness, we'll go and stick that finger right in the socket. And then when something happens, we say, "God, why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you stop me? God, where were you?" And yet we weren't listening. God was saying, "No, don't, stop it." But we didn't want to hear that at the time. We just wanted to hear yes. We just wanted to have our way. And as a little child, they want to do everything they want to do their own way. But we've got to grow up in the things of God and know that sometimes God will say no to us. And he says no to us because I love. Those who I love, I rebuke. Rebuke means no, don't do that. And I discipline. And sometimes we have to be disciplined, pulled back into line because we get slack or whatever it is. We just neglect things. And so sometimes God has to pull us in. But God does that. A mother that gives her child, corrects her child, does that out of love. But how much more, that does God love us, that he will love and correct us. So if God says no to you, don't think he doesn't love you. He's probably said no to you because he loves you. And God sometimes will say no to us. And there's a final scripture in Isaiah 49:15. And as I said, quite often we epitomize mothers. And I really want to hold up motherhood. It is a wonderful mystery to me. The love of a mother, which doesn't, as I said, just doesn't give up. But I know God doesn't give up on us either. The love of a mother that just so much wants the best for her children. We have a God who so much wants the best for us. And it is a wonderful thing to love of the mother. And I honour those that have that role. The daughters who have the role of being a mother, I honour you this morning. I honour all the daughters, whether you have that role or not, even this day. But sometimes in our own life, maybe your mother wasn't the perfect mother. She wasn't the Proverbs 31 mother. But there's a wonderful promise of God. And this is his great love, which is the mother's love is the glimmer. It maybe helps point us and to give us a little snapshot, a little idea about God's love, but how much is God's love itself? Isaiah 49:15, it says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she is born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." What a wonderful promise. And because it's a rhetorical question there. It says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? The answer to that question is actually yes. It's not no. The answer is yes, actually. The answer is yes. Because mums, as much as we like to think, well, mum's perfect, they're not. Mums are people. Some of them have come from brokenness. They've come out of broken backgrounds. They've had fears and insecurities. Some of them haven't known the ways of God and known His things. Not knowing His path, they've not known Him. And maybe they failed in some way. And maybe for some, when you look back at Mother's Day, just always honour your mother, even if she wasn't the perfect mother. Honour her with everything that you have. It actually is a wickedness not to honour our mother. The Scripture encourages us to honour our mother. There's a promise that we honour our mother. It says, honour your mother and father. It says that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. I want it to go well with me and I want to have a long life, so I want to honour my father and I want to honour my mother, so honour them. But there's a promise here. It says, if your mum wasn't super mum, well, that's okay. You're not dented or damaged by that, because there's a love that is so much greater for you to come to tap into. You're not a product of that. Your identity is not defined by what your mother did or your father did or what anyone else ever did to you. Your identity is tied up in Jesus Christ. That's who you are. And it says, though she may forget, I will not forget you. And so that's almost impossible for a mother to do that. But maybe your mother can do that. But God says to each and every one of them, my love is so strong for you, I will not forget you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm never going to let you down. And I want everyone to hear that message today, how much God loves us. He loves us so much. The love of the mother, of a mother, a godly mother, is a beautiful and wonderful thing. Precious thing that we honour and celebrate this day, but how much more is the love of our Father in heaven, God Himself, who loves us, who is love, and we've got to all tap into that. And I pray that God touches you and you tap into that today. I just want to read something that was this little affirmation that I found, and it's very powerful. I just want to read this to us this morning, just before I pray. It says, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Son of the loving God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son and caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of children they bear. It's stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on a hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. And that's a challenge. Let's all of us let that love of God flow out of our hearts, because that's what we're on about. We're talking about living a life of love, and we want God's love to flow out of every heart. So let's stand and pray together this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord, on this Mother's Day. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful love, Lord, of mothers. We celebrate that today. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your love, Lord, is so amazing, Lord, that your love is so great. And Lord, whatever our circumstances, Lord, whether the Mother's Day is a good day or a hard day for us, Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your love is there, Lord, that your love is greater. And Father, we honour mums. Lord, we just thank you so much because they're very precious, Lord. But Father, we just thank you for your love that surpasses all things. And Lord, that we can tap into that today, Father. And I pray, Lord, for your love just to wash over every heart today, Lord. For those who are able to celebrate with mothers, Lord, let there be joy. Fathers, for those whose mothers are not here, Lord, let them, Lord, just honour and treasure the good things, Father. But I pray, Lord, above all for everyone that is here, Lord, that your love will touch every heart this day. Lord, the wonder of your great love, Lord, will fill every heart. And Father, that we will walk in the wonder of that every day, Lord, that you love us, or that you cherish us. Lord, that you care for us, Lord, that you will correct us, Lord, you will discipline us, Lord, you will teach us, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're always there, Lord. You never leave us, you never forsake us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, let us grow more and more in that wonderful love you have for each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.